Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about two smartphones primarily. These are the Realme 3 and the Samsung Galaxy M30. We are recording this on the 4th of March and we'll be talking about all there is to know for the Realme 3. And as for the Samsung Galaxy M30, as of now, we've just begun testing this smartphone. So we know things about the camera, about the battery life, and we can give you a good idea about whether you should buy this phone or not. But we should clarify that at the moment, all of our tests, such as the battery loop tests, are not complete entirely. So the review will be ready in a few days from this recording. But until then, we will definitely be able to share you some definitive insights on the Samsung Galaxy M30 as well. So first, let me introduce the people on this podcast. We have Aditya Shenoy, who's reviewing the Samsung Galaxy M30.
Hello.
And Royden Sarejo, who's been tasked with reviewing the Realme 3.
Hey guys, what's up?
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So first, maybe let's start by talking about the Realme 3, since the review is at a more advanced stage with that phone. Mm-hmm. So from what I've been seeing in the teasers, Realme, they have been definitively doing this, which is taking on Xiaomi at every single possible level.
Yep.
Now, whether it's the name of the brand itself, which is, you know, very close to Redmi, the brand from Xiaomi. And even if you look at the way the font is written, Realme can easily be mistaken for Redmi. So they made it very clear that Redmi is the target for them. And for those who don't know, this started off as a sub-brand of Oppo, which is, eventually which has changed and now it's become an independent brand, which is from the same family of companies as Oppo, Vivo and OnePlus. So Realme 3 is now here and we have been testing it for a week or so. Now, the first thing I noticed about this phone is that this has that water drop notch on the front. Mm-hmm. And also it seems like it's built of some kind of plastic. I don't know, is it?
It is. So basically this is like the successor to the Realme 2, which was like the sub 10,000 rupee phone from Realme before. And I'm guessing that we'll also have other variants which will follow, like a Realme 3 Pro, which will eventually come. But for now, this is what we have. It's a pretty nice upgrade over the predecessor. Like, so if you see, the Realme 2 had that big fat notch, so they've shrunken down the notch a bit to this water drop style, so you get more screen space. They have improved upon the design of the phone. They have this like this unibody back. It's still like this injection molded plastic, but it's got this more rounded, like it goes all the way to the side, so there's, you know, there are no visible seams or anything, so it just feels a little better. And they've got these new gradient colors, like the one we have over here is, I think, called Radiant Blue, where you get three colors. There's a black and there's another gradient black as well.
Yeah, even this one, the black is pretty prominent on this one, like at the top.
Yeah, it's just the lower part, lower 1/4 is probably like that speckled blue color.
Yeah, like glitter. Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Anyway, so since you mentioned about the so many things about the body build quality,
yeah,
I did notice that, you know, once again, a Realme phone is here which is basically like a glossy fingerprint magnet. Like, I held this phone for like literally 5 minutes in my hand now, and already I can see all my fingerprints.
Yes, that is an immediate problem which you'll notice soon as you take it out of the box. Like, in just a couple of seconds, the phone will be completely full of smudges, and there's just no way getting around this unless you use the bundle case.
Okay, so it's good at least that it
they do bundle a case with it.
With a case. Yeah. Another thing I noticed about this is that since, you know, these guys are taking on the Redmi Note 7 and the Note 7 Pro now, which have launched like last week, they still have a micro USB port for some reason on this phone. They have not yet made that switch to USB Type-C.
Yeah.
That's something that I would like to see for sure. I think, you know, it's the sooner budget Android phones move to USB Type-C, the better for everyone, because, you know, who wants to deal with two different types of charging cables for what is essentially the same platform?
No, you're right, very right. And that's actually one of the observations that even I had made, and one of my complaints actually of this phone is that they've done pretty decent upgrades all around compared to the previous model, but they've still left a lot of things which should have been done. Like, they could have gone all out, but they didn't go all out. And for example, one of the things is the USB port. And now we don't have the exact price, but we have a ballpark of where this will sit. So there are two models. The starting model is supposed to be under 10,000, and the higher end version, which is what we have, which is the 4GB version, which is supposed to be around 11-ish. So again, some very similar pricing as the Redmi Note 7, but then the Redmi Note 7 already has an edge over this, because you get a glass back, you get a Type-C port, and I'm forgetting, there's one more thing which it had an edge over, I'm not remembering, but anyway. But yeah, these are the two things that you immediately notice, that it has an edge over
Redmi Note 7.
Yeah.
So the Realme 3 is obviously going to be taking on the Redmi Note 7 more, it looks like.
Yep.
The Redmi Note 7 Pro, which is the more expensive smartphone, will probably have a different rival from other companies.
I'm guessing the Realme, that is where the Realme 3 Pro will come in, and it'll take the Redmi Note 7 Pro in around that price.
Yeah, so the Redmi Note 7 Pro, for those who don't know, is priced at 15,000 rupees starting, and there is a higher variant as well. But for now, we'll be focusing on the Realme 3. So with this phone, you also get this ColorOS. Now, you know, when I first used a phone with ColorOS, I noticed that it was pretty unwieldy to use and like had a bunch of irritating things like, you know, disabling the notifications and all of that.
Yeah.
And it was still like way too much like a, you know, iOS theme rather than, you know, an OS that actually helps Android. Now, has that changed recently? Because I see that the OS on this one is completely different from what I initially saw.
Yeah, so this is, I think, the first phone in India, if I'm not mistaken, to have ColorOS 6, to launch with ColorOS 6. This was the next version that Oppo has been promising and teasing for a while. And this is one of the first phones that will go on sale with ColorOS 6.0. The previous ones have been 5, 5.2 or whatever.
And yeah, this the app drawer is the one thing that I noticed as like really...
Exactly, but that's because this is based on Android 9 Pie. Hmm. And Realme has said that they've kept it to a very minimalistic look and used most of Android's 9 Pie's navigation, and also you can see even the recent apps menu and everything is the pixel style. It's just got two buttons, the home and the back button. It doesn't have that recent app button. So they've taken kept a lot of elements from Android 9 Pie while without going all out and crazy and trying to customize it too much. So that is something I quite like.
Yeah, so that's a, you know, definitely a good change to see from them. Now, as far as the hardware goes, it has a MediaTek Helio P70 chip, which we've already seen in the Realme U1. And I think at that time, if I remember correctly, the performance was such that it takes on the Snapdragon 660. So in CPU tests, it was slightly faster in benchmark tests. And for GPU tests, it was, you know, maybe slightly slower than the Qualcomm.
Yeah, so this one, like the U1, the P70, this is for what I feel is one of the bigger upgrades over the Realme 2 is that the processor, because that had a Snapdragon 450, which was severely underpowered. When you consider the Realme 1 had actually a better processor than the Realme 2, which is kind of a weird move for Realme. But then they've come fixed that and they've gone with a P70 on this. And a P70 under 10,000, I think, is a good thing. It is slightly faster than a 660, which is found on the Redmi Note 7. Although we'll have to actually see how actual usage is once we actually test the Redmi Note 7. But at least on paper, in most of the tests, the P70 edges out the Snapdragon 660. So good CPU and good GPU performance as well around this price. So no complaints about the SoC.
Yeah, so that's definitely good to see.
Yep.
Now, maybe we can talk about the fact that, you know, this has a dual rear camera setup and a single selfie camera. So how was the camera performance on this one?
So cameras, again, on paper, the primary rear camera has improved. It's the same combination as the Realme 2. You get a 13+2 megapixel sensor. But in this one, the sensor aperture has been increased or widened to f1.8 compared to f2.something, which is on the previous one. Technically, that should give you better low light photos. However, in our experience, it wasn't that great. Like on average, it's pretty much average at best. So in daytime shots, it's a bit of a hit or miss. Like there are times when we did have some pretty nice detailed landscape shots, but then also there were many times where, you know, things cannot render things like more complex things like leaves or trees or something like that in landscape shots, and everything just ends up to be like a blurry mess. So it depends. Like it's like a hit or miss. It's not a very consistent performer, the rear camera, and even in night, especially the shots are very average at best. Like even if you take your time and you're still and everything and you hold a non-moving subject, the images just aren't sharp enough. Like there's no noise, there's very little noise thanks to the wider aperture, but there is just no depth in the image. It just looks very flat, very just very standard.
I think that if you look at it from a perspective of, okay, in this price range, is it a decent performer? Then maybe we get a clearer answer about like whether you should go for this phone.
No, I think in this price range, you can still get better camera. I think the Zenfone Max Pro M2 had a better camera. Even for low light, I would pretty sure, again, I'm not on a side-by-side, but I'm pretty sure that had a better low light performance. However, to save itself, I mean, there is some redeeming factors here. So Realme has added two new features to the camera app, which they are boasting about, called Nightscape, and another thing is called Chroma Boost. So Nightscape is essentially tries to mimic what Google does with NightSight, but obviously not in that exact fashion. So it does have a slower shutter speed. So you'll have to wait, be steady for a few more seconds before you take the save while the shot is being saved. But the difference is actually quite dramatic. Like if you're still enough and if your subject is still enough, you can actually get some pretty good results in low light. But then again, this is a special mode, right? We want the camera to have low light by default. Like you're not going to find yourself being able to hold still or your subject being hold still all the time to be able to get that good shots. But there is a good difference in using Nightscape. So that is one good thing they've added. Chroma Boost is another good feature. Basically, what it does is tries to improve dynamic range when you're shooting against something bright light. So you're shooting like a backlit subject. Your subject is standing against the sun or the sun from behind your subject. It basically boosts the brightness and the shadows, which has, again, a good effect. But if you're shooting like landscape, sometimes trees and stuff tend to look artificially green. Like it boosts the colors as well. So while it does improve details in the shadows, it also makes it look a bit comical at times. It's striking, not very natural to look at, but there is an interesting difference. Some people might like it, some people might hate it.
Actually, like, you know, now that you go into the details, it's so much more complicated than just like looking at a spec sheet and picking a smartphone.
It nowadays, is, yeah.
Which is actually a good thing, because I think a lot of companies have gamed this thing where they put in good specifications and then when you start using the phone, you actually realize that, okay, there are too many compromises here. But now if you can get better results in terms of camera and there are these modes and all that sort of make your photography experience, you know, more advanced and improved, and it's actually a really good thing to see. So that's why, you know, no longer I think I would recommend that people just look at the specs. Read the reviews on gadgets360.com in detail and then make your decision about whether you should buy this phone or not. All right, so the Realme 3, battery life, how is it?
So battery life is good in real world usage, like playing games, music streaming, calls and stuff like that. We easily managed to get more than a day because it's got a 4,230 milliamp hour battery, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So pretty solid actual real world usage. Battery and our battery loop test, the results weren't that impressive. We just got a score just shy of 10 hours, which is a little below average because normally we've seen phones in this price range to go easily above 10 hours, around usually our average around 12 maybe. So 9 hours 52 minutes was a bit under average, but then again, that's just one like control test. Like actual usage is still pretty good. The battery life is not bad. You can still go beyond a day.
Yeah, okay, but for benchmark purposes, what we use is the video loop test, right? Where we
fair enough. So yeah, so that's like loop. I said, in that case, it didn't fare too well.
Yeah, so maybe, I mean, I don't know, like if people are watching only videos on this one, you know, like using this phone,
you'll probably have a shorter battery. Yeah,
yeah, and that's the only thing we can conclude from this test. But yeah, in real world usage, for like if you're doing other things as well, no noticeable difference.
It'll easily keep up an entire day. Yeah.
So we just found out the price of the Realme 3 as we were recording this. The event just sort of concluded. The price of the Realme 3 starts at 8,999 rupees. That's for the 3GB RAM, 32GB storage variant. And it is 10,999 rupees for the 4GB RAM, 64GB storage variant. Now, because of this, it is undercutting the Redmi Note 7. And that means that you will be able to sort of have a phone that is cheaper, offers similar specifications as compared to the new Redmi Note 7. But it will be available from March 12th starting, I think, online via flash sales, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, Royden, what are your thoughts on this pricing? Do you think it makes sense to pick up the Realme 3?
So, at the starting price, I mean, if your budget is really tight, you really cannot stretch anything beyond 9,000 rupees, then I think currently that is your best bet. That is a pretty good phone considering all the other rivals around, like the Zenfone Max M2 and even the Redmi Y2, which are, again, older models. But again, they're going to be as powerful as the Helio P70 that's in the Realme 3. So in that sense alone, you get a pretty good deal. But I mean, I don't think most people would have that strict a budget. And if you think about the starting price of the Redmi Note 7, which is 1,000 rupees more, and you get, you know, a ton of slightly better features, at least in the exterior, if you look at the Type-C port and the glass back and all that stuff. And not to mention, yeah, the full HD display. That's the thing that I couldn't remember earlier. So this one, while it has an HD plus display, Redmi Note 7 has a full HD display. So you're also getting much sharper image and, you know, better screen quality overall. So I would say put in the 1,000 rupees more and get the Redmi Note 7. Again, we've not tested it at the moment, but already it looks like it could be a better deal than the Realme.
Yeah, I mean, the pricing is definitely really interesting because undercutting the Redmi Note 7.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the other thing that I would like to bring to your attention here is that at 9,000 rupees, it's also like sort of taking on this Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1, which got a price cut and was available at 8,500 rupees during sales.
Yeah.
That has a Snapdragon 636 processor, which is like much older and not as powerful.
Right.
But, you know, at 8999, this looks to be a good deal. And we should also remember that when the Realme 1 first launched, I think it was the MediaTek Helio P60.
Like one generation behind the P70.
Yeah, so they launched it at a similar price, if I'm not mistaken, at 9,000 rupees.
Yeah.
And then later discontinued that base variant and continued with only the higher variant.
Yep.
So they must have, like, you know, since this company has pulled this kind of a thing in the past, I don't entirely trust them when it comes to their base variant and, you know, starting price. So I would probably suggest that everyone look at the higher variant and you know, see that as the real competition for the Redmi Note 7.
But then again, if you look at the higher variant also, that's 11,000. For a bit more, you can get at that same price, you can get the higher variant of the Redmi Note 7 once again, which is priced around 11-ish, if I'm not mistaken. Or for a bit more, you also have the Realme U1. Which I think 11 and a half or 12, which again has better cameras, a full HD display, a lot of things that the Realme 3 is still lacking. So it's interesting to see, like you said, how Realme again adjusts or balances their own models, because clearly there's going to be a lot of overlap between the Realme 3 and past Realme phones, like the 2 and the 1, and even other models in Realme's lineup, like the U1 and stuff like that.
Hmm. Okay, so obviously, like, we'll figure these things out as time goes. We can't say whether the Realme 1's base variant will be discontinued or not.
Exactly,
In the future, we'll figure these things out and then we'll take life from there. So the M30 is a phone that we've had only for like 4 days or so now. And we've just sort of begun testing. It takes about 1 week for us to finish all tests. So we're in the middle of testing it, as I mentioned earlier. Now, what I can tell you about this phone is that this is a part of Samsung's new India First series of phones. We had the M10, we had the M20, and now we have the M30. And it's also a part of a broader strategy by Samsung where they are putting some of their innovations in budget phones first, focusing more on this market because of the number of phones that have launched from competitors such as Xiaomi and Oppo in this price range. And we also know that Samsung has done really well in the flagship segment, but in the budget segment nowadays, you know, the likes of all these Chinese brands that we just spoke about, they are really doing well and they have sort of taken over in some ways. So now Samsung is making a renewed push to capture this market once again. Now, we've seen the Samsung Galaxy M10 and M20, spoken about them in a previous episode of this podcast. We've also recently seen the launch of the Galaxy A10, A30 and A50. Those phones are also in the, I think, 10,000 to 25,000 rupee price bracket, if I'm not mistaken. And we also have the Samsung Galaxy M30 here. The Samsung Galaxy M30 is priced at 14,990 for the 4GB RAM and 64GB storage variant. And there is also another variant, I believe, Aditya, which is at 18,000 rupees.
Yeah, so that's 17,990 and that gets 6GB of RAM and 128GB of storage.
Yeah, so I suppose most people will be happy with the 464.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of people going for the higher one. But yes, you do get more RAM. And the storage is just an added bonus.
Yeah. So now what I'll ask you is first maybe talk about the build quality of this one. Then we can mention the tests we've completed and then, you know, carry on that way.
Okay. So first of all, the phone is well built and it's made out of plastic. Now, Samsung has also moved to the gradient finish. So you have got two colors. They call it gradation blue and gradation black. And this also is a fingerprint magnet, like pretty much after you take it out of the box and if you have greasy fingers, you will have fingerprints on it easily. Now, I was going through our unboxing as well, so there's no case in the box. So you will have to go and buy a case if you don't want it to get all smudged up. In terms of the display, yes, it is an AMOLED panel and I'm kind of happy that Samsung has opted for an AMOLED panel at this price point. Otherwise, usually what they've been doing is they've been shipping budget smartphones with an LCD panel. So that way, it's a really good panel. It's a full HD plus panel and this is a 6.4-inch display. Very good to look at, vivid colors there, and you can go in and change the, you can tweak the display settings there. Apart from that, the battery is the highlight of this phone, primarily because it's a 5000 milliamp hour battery. You get a Type-C port at the bottom and a 15 watt fast charger in the box. So that way, it's pretty well equipped. In terms of processor, this is powered by the Exynos 7904, which is similar to what we've seen on the M20. So in terms of processors alone, yeah, it's nothing different. It's Samsung's own Exynos 7904. And apart from that, it's just about decent or good at whatever it's doing.
Okay, so now I have a couple of questions for you. Mm-hmm. The first is that the Exynos 7904, where does it stand in terms of performance? Because you've done some benchmark testing previously, so that's one thing I want to know. Mm-hmm. The second is that with the M20, I think our reviews editor Jamshed was the one who reviewed that phone. And he had said that, you know, one of the problems with the phone was that you get inundated with ads from or whatever, spammy notifications from some preloaded apps. So I want to know if that is still the case on this one, or and have they like or fixed it? And I think Jamshed also mentioned that he saw some sluggishness in the performance of the M20. So have you noticed something similar here?
Okay. So first of all, in terms of the processor, I would say this is like marginally behind the Snapdragon 660, purely based on the benchmark scores I'm looking at right now, because I was checking this against the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M2, which has a Snapdragon 660 processor, and the scores are marginally different. Like I would get what, a 1400 something in a single core benchmark and 5100 or say on the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M2. On this particular phone, it's somewhere around 1,300 and 4,900. It's not like a huge
So difference. Single and multi-core benchmarks, yeah,
multi-core
are basically
is
like
a little slower. I'll correct. It's around 4,000 something. So multi-core has a bigger difference, but yeah, single-core performance is not a huge difference there.
So does it make any difference in the real world?
In real world, I did not notice. It wasn't noticeable, like the lag or stutter. I think he was using a 3GB RAM variant. That could be the reason for it. But yeah, there's this one weird bug that I've noticed with respect to the notch, wherein it, even if it hides it, the ticker does not physically show that, okay, it's enabled. Hide notch option is enabled, and it does not round the corners at some times. At some times, it does do it. So it's a little weird with respect to the software there. But apart from that, nothing else faced.
Okay, so now that answers like most of the questions about that. What about the spam notifications?
Yeah, so spam, when you set the device up, it gives you an option. I've also taken a screenshot of it, which I will be posting it in the review. So what it does is it asks you if you would want to see information or banner type information on the lock screen. And you have that option to enable or disable, and I can say that a lot of people are blindly going to just say accept all and move ahead.
So it's,
and
like what, enabled by default, and you say accept, or is it like say disabled?
It is enabled by default, and
during the setup process it
so
appears.
Yeah, in, so no, so this is how it is. It's pretty much, it does not have anything enabled. It just gives you three options. It says extend your battery life, font size, and screen zoom. And the third is called enhance your lock screen. Now, this is the ad thing that we've been talking about. And it says that see exciting stories each time you check your phone. So for this thing, you can not, you can forget unchecking it completely and just skip the step or finish it without checking it. Like, this is not mandatory to skip it, but the whole thing is designed to look like you have to check that box and then click finish. Whereas you can just go ahead and, you know, skip that step entirely.
So, yeah, and I mean, I'm pretty sure it doesn't enhance anyone's lock screen. Nobody wants to see ads, so it's actually like a downgrade.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a good thing that you can skip it. And but if you don't pay attention, yeah, it's
you are going to do it. And yeah. I don't know if there's any way of disabling it after it's enabled from the phone, unless you reset it and set it again.
Yeah, but there probably will be some like some option hidden in the settings. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. But you know, obviously, like, we still are in the process of testing, and we haven't actually gone and like looked for it because obviously we've kept it disabled by default. So that's good to hear. Now, let's talk about your experience with this phone. Now, from what I know, you've done a real-world battery test and you've tested the camera, right? So maybe we can hear about these two things.
Okay. So first of all, 5,000 milliamp hour battery, I had basically was out over the weekend. So I topped it up to 100% at 8 in the morning on Saturday. Today it's Monday at 12 and it's currently at 15%. And since I was driving most of the time, this phone was basically handed the task of the navigation. So over this period of time, I've clicked a lot of cameras, photo samples from the phone, and it's been used for navigation. So the navigation time stands at somewhere around 6 hours worth of navigation and close to 6 hours of screen on time on the device. and it still has 15% to go.
So you were saying that Saturday morning...
Morning, 8 o'clock is when it was charged to 100%.
It lasted till Monday.
Yeah.
So wow, that's good to hear.
2 days. And it completely depends on what you're doing with it. Now, this has a GeoSIM in it and with WhatsApp enabled. So I've been getting messages, but where I was over the weekend, this was struggling to get network.
Mm.
So again, I was like, in spite of that, it's managed to pull along. So for that way, I would say it's yes, quite impressive.
So battery life is really good. Or I mean, that's actually very, very good to see. That's the one complaint I have with all phones.
Yeah.
Just like, don't make me charge the phone again after I've charged it. Like, you know, if I have to charge it again in the same day, it's really irritating. It has to last the full day. Now that this is lasting more than one day, that's, I mean, the best news that people can hear, I guess.
Definitely.
Okay, so what about the camera?
So the cameras, I've mainly used it for landscape shots and portraits, low light as well. Now, this weird thing I've observed is while clicking, say, portraits or flowers especially, I don't know why, it kind of hates red flowers because it boosts it up to such an extent that you lose out on details. And this only with the color red. Like any other color, strangely, it's not that apparent. So, I would say portrait, it doesn't do portrait shots really well. Like macros, it doesn't do it really, really well. The wide angle camera is very helpful when you're clicking shots. There are a couple of shots that I could take with the wide angle. Of course, there's no autofocus with it, and there is a little bit of barrel distortion, which after you click an image, it automatically gives you that option of shape correction.
Mm.
Wherein if you open it in the gallery, it gives you an option to shape correct so that barrel distortion can get rid of.
Mm.
I would say the camera is good for the price. Selfies, good, decent amount of detail. I say macro is not its strongest point. And in low light, there is, like, you will see a slightly grainy output. It doesn't have noise. There's a good noise reduction algorithm at work here. But you will see grain in areas where it's not properly lit. Or, you know, where it's dark, where there's no light.
Hmm. Okay, and how does it compare with phones in this price bracket? So, for example, I think the Xiaomi Mi A2 is the one that we've singled out as the one with a good camera in this price range.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on that?
See, with respect to the Mi A2, I would say in daylight, this... is behind it, but because it has a wide angle sensor, it's capable of clicking wider landscape shots slightly better. Macros, the Mi A2 is still ahead, and even in terms of low light, I would say that this is probably a step or two behind the Mi A2, not far away.
Okay, so that's actually, I mean, in a way it's good to hear, because right now, you know, at launch, we already get a triple camera setup at the back with this phone. And it's also priced pretty reasonably. I think 15,000 is not too much to ask for this phone, in my opinion. Hopefully in the future, there will be some discount that will make it even more appealing for people to purchase. Mm-hmm. But for now, I mean, I think our first impressions are that this seems like a pretty solid entry from Samsung, and maybe things will only get better. Now, Aditya, I have to ask you, it has a USB Type-C port, right?
Yep.
This one. So that's again good to see, because I think the M10 was the one with the micro USB port, and yeah, that's something that
I think pretty much every other smartphone that Samsung has launched this year has a Type-C port, other than the M10 and probably the A10, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so it's a good like shift to see from the company in overall. So now, do you have any other thoughts about the M30 that you would like to share? Anything else that you noticed?
I'm curious to see how it performs in the battery loop test, because what we've been seeing even with the Realme 3 is that the day-to-day usage is significantly better. But if you're, say, watching a movie constantly, for example, so the Realme 3 had a result wherein the battery life in our loop test wasn't all that great, but day-to-day usage was great. So I want to check how this performs. And apart from that, the software, I would hope that it gets an update soon, because this is, it still is on Android 8 Oreo. So that is something I'd wanted to change.
Yeah, so that's actually a bit disappointing to see, to be honest, launching a phone with Android 8 Oreo now. And Samsung, I mean, let's be fair here. When even with their flagships, the update schedule is far from the fastest that we see on Android. So that's something that I would definitely like to see change. Like, maybe, you know, now that they are focusing on the budget segment, maybe they should like speed up the software update scene at least. No one is expecting like an Android One type schedule now, because to be honest, like, hardly any budget Android phone maker is like really prompt with updates.
Yeah.
But we do expect, when you're launching a phone in 2019, a few months from when, you know, the Android 10 version will be out, it at least ships with Android 9, which is the current version. So it's disappointing to see that it has Android 8 Oreo. Okay, so I think that about wraps up what we have to say right now. We'll be back with one more episode of Orbital next week. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. You can also write to us. podcast@gadgets360.com is the way to contact us if you have any questions, comments, or feedback. I will be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, if you use any podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, Google Podcasts on your Android phone, or any other app, please do rate us, please review this show, please subscribe to it. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.